Hello everyone and welcome. Let me start off by just saying thanks for joining me today. I'm really excited because we're going to be talking about building your first cross-platform application using the powerful Xamarin Forms framework. Let me start off by introducing myself. My name is Jesse Dietrichson, and I'm a content developer and Xamarin University instructor. However, we're not alone today. We're also joined by a group of Xamarin experts waiting to answer your questions. So as we go through the presentation, if you have questions, just go ahead and type them through the discussion box. Now you may be wondering, well, what exactly is Xamarin University? Xamarin University is your one-stop shop for learning everything Xamarin. And from being a Xamarin University subscriber, you get many benefits. Now, the benefits consist of things like live, interactive mobile development training led by Xamarin experts, and these classes are offered in all time zones. You'll also gain access to one-on-one office hour sessions with Xamarin experts to review your applications, your architecture, maybe certain mobile development strategies, and basically any questions that you have. You'll get access to self-guided learning, and this is basically our platform that allows you to earn course credits towards certification at your own pace. And the content in this self-guided learning track contains all the same content as the live versions. Now, Xamarin University has over 80 live and on-demand courses that are broken up into different tracks that are constantly being updated. And this ranges from beginner to expert level. Xamarin University also has flexible subscription options, including a new monthly option, and it offers unlimited access to the full course catalog, all the training, all the hands-on help, everything that you would expect. And finally, from being a XAMU subscriber, you get the opportunity to become a Xamarin certified developer. And this is awarded to people who complete the certification track and some coursework. So our main goal for today is to build and run a Xamarin Forms application. But before we do that, let's take a step back and let's look at the overview of that process. Now, Microsoft offers end-to-end tools for developers for creating and publishing mobile applications. First, we have the Xamarin Development Platform, and this allows you to build native Android, iOS, Mac, and Windows applications all in C#. This is really what developers talk about when they're discussing Xamarin, and that's actually a huge part of Xamarin, but Xamarin is also a lot more than that. It also includes some testing products like our Test Cloud, which allows you to write UI tests and then deploy them to a collection of devices hosted in the testing center in the cloud. And this allows you to see how your application looks and behaves on hundreds and hundreds of devices. The Xamarin tools enable you to build native applications written in C# for each platform, and with HockeyApp, you can quickly deploy beta versions of your application to your testers to ensure that your application is looking amazing and performing amazing before releasing it to the public. And once your application is published, we have tools to monitor usage, track events, and receive crash reports. So as I said before, our main goal for today is just to introduce and learn about Xamarin Forms. And with that, we're going to be building our first cross-platform applications. But before that, we're also going to talk about the mobile landscape. We'll look at, well, what does it mean to be cross-platform? What range does that give me? We'll look at different development approaches because Xamarin doesn't only have Xamarin Forms. We can also build applications using what we call the traditional approach. After that, we'll start diving into some demos. We'll look at actually going through Visual Studio, doing a file new project, and creating our first Xamarin Forms application. We'll then build a user interface. We'll look at XAML, which is a markup language created by Microsoft. And then towards the end, we'll look at different code sharing strategies. How can we share the most amount of code with our Xamarin Forms applications? And then at the end, I'll show you some resources, some great links. I'll also provide you the source code from everything that we did today. And then we'll have a Q&A session where you can ask questions and get answers. So let's talk about the mobile landscape now. You know, it's a mobile-first, cloud-first world. Users nowadays expect devices of all types to be connected, to always be online, to be generating data. You know, anything from checking the temperature in their home when they're on vacation, or getting updates on when their flight is going to arrive. The data should always be relevant, it should be detailed, and it should be readily available. And it's not just one device. We're seeing more and more that users have multiple devices that they want to consume and use to interact with their data. You know, if you took a look at your desk right now, you probably are at a laptop or a computer. You probably have a smartphone, maybe a tablet. We have all these devices, and we want to be able to consume and interact with our data seamlessly between them. And we're not just seeing this for work. You know, we're seeing smart devices in really all aspects of our lives. You know, athletics, entertainment, health. We're seeing it everywhere. So like I said, we have all these devices and all this data. We want to be able to access and consume our data across all devices without restrictions. This should be a very seamless experience. So how do we go about actually building these applications? Now, putting Xamarin to the side just for a second, there are three big major ecosystems, right? We have iOS, Windows, and Android. And when we're writing applications, that means that we're adding business logic and we're building a UI. Now, using the traditional development approach, in iOS, we would build our applications using Objective-C or Swift, and we would use Xcode as our IDE. If we're building Windows applications, we would be using C# and Visual Studio. And if we're building Android applications, we would be using Java and maybe Android Studio. So as you can see, if you want to build a mobile application targeting the three major platforms, you have to write your application three different times using three different programming languages. Now, what we really want is the ability to write applications that can take full advantage of the power, the features, and the performance of each platform, but write it in a common language. Or even better, share code across the platforms to reduce development time and help keep our applications synchronized across all of our platforms and devices. And this is where Xamarin comes in. Xamarin is an application development platform that lets you build applications for iOS, Android, Windows, UWP, and share code across all of these platforms. And this includes Android phones, iPhones, Windows Mobile, but it also includes other form factors like Windows Desktop, macOS, wearables, IoT, Xbox, HoloLens. So we can write applications that share code across all these device types and operating systems. Now with Xamarin, you write your applications in C# using Visual Studio on either Windows or Mac. And it's more than just the C# language. You also gain access to the .NET libraries, which provide features and standard APIs across all those supported platforms. Now, Xamarin also has two different development strategies. First, we have where we share our business logic. This is sort of like the traditional Xamarin approach. This is where, like I said, we share our business logic, but we craft our UI on a per-platform basis. And this is a really powerful technique. You're able to use the exact same code for your business logic, but then take advantage of the unique UI features on each platform. Using this approach, it's common to share like 70% or more of your code across all platforms. Now, there's another approach called Xamarin Forms, and Xamarin Forms allows for even more code sharing. Now with Xamarin Forms, you're still able to share all of your C# business logic, but now you're also sharing your UI definition. So it basically means you write your UI once and you share that across all platforms as well. And Xamarin Forms not only lets you share your UI code, it also has a number of significant development advantages. It has over 40 UI elements that you can use to build your UI, and all of these controls create the appropriate native control on each platform, and we'll talk about how that works in a little bit. You can define your UI in XAML, and this is much like the XAML that you've been using as a Windows developer. Using XAML and data binding lets you achieve a strong separation of UI from the code behind. And Xamarin Forms also includes a number of really useful APIs for dealing with navigation, animation, dependency injection, etc. So we're going to go ahead now and we're going to jump into our first demo, and we're going to create our first Xamarin Forms application, and we'll step through the project structure and we'll talk about all the different pieces that make up this application. So here we are in Visual Studio, and we're going to head over to File, New, and we're going to hit New Project. And under this, we're going to go to the Cross-Platform section, and you're going to click on the Cross-Platform application. Now, you can go ahead and call this Tic-Tac-Toe, because today we're going to be looking at building a simple Tic-Tac-Toe game. And when you click OK, it's going to prompt you with some information. What you want to select here is you want to select blank application. We want to use Xamarin Forms, and we're going to be using a portable class library. So you can go ahead and click that, click OK, and now it's going to go off and start creating the project. This can take a few minutes, so give it some time. It has to create an iOS project, an Android project, UWP, and also a PCL, so it does take some time. So once it's done loading, you'll see a screen that looks something similar to this. And we'll go through some of these files, but just taking a look at the Solution Explorer quickly, notice what we have here. We have a portable class library. This is where we're gonna put basically 90% of our code. This will be our business logic, our shared UI. Everything's really gonna go in here for today, at least. We'll put some in the other projects towards the end of the lecture, but for the most part, everything's going to go in here. Then we have sort of our native projects, if you will. So we have the host or the head Android project, iOS, and UWP. And just to kind of prove this to you, you know, like in Android, we use activities, and you can see it created a main activity. In iOS, we use view controllers, and we have a class called AppDelegate. And you can see that AppDelegate here is here as well. Now, one thing you may notice by going through this code, both in the main activity in Android and the app delegate in iOS, is this code right here. You can see we have first xamarinforms.forms.init. This is basically initializing the Xamarin Forms framework. And we can also see that inside of the iOS project as well. Now, on the second line, we have this guy. We're creating an instance of this new app class. And if you remember, if you go back to your PCL, we have a class called Application. This Application class is responsible for a few things. You can see we're assigning by default this main page property. This is basically the currently displayed page. So it's saying this tic-tac-toe.main page will be the visible page when the application starts. It's also responsible for other things like lifecycle methods. You can see we have on start, on sleep, on resume. It's also responsible for some other things like persistence mechanisms, and we'll kind of talk about this later on. Now, finally, if we go into the mainpage.xaml, this is the actual XAML code that's building that default page. And you can see all it's doing is it's just creating a label saying welcome to Xamarin Forms. Now, if you're kind of new to XAML, don't worry, we'll go through the basics of it a little bit in slides and a little bit in demo in a little bit, but for the most part, it's just a simple markup language. So I want to now just run this on some platforms to show you what it looks like. So we'll start by running it on the iPhone 7. It's going to take a second to update NuGet packages and things like that. All right, so here we are. So you can see on iOS, it created this simple label and it says, "Welcome to Xamarin Forms." Now I want to point out, what I'm using here is just an iOS remoting tool. Now this is available if you have an enterprise license. And it's just a free install. You can head over to the Xamarin website, you can download it. And it basically just kind of projects the simulator from your Mac onto your Windows computer. And we'll be using this throughout the lecture today so that you can see what it looks like on iOS. I'll also go ahead and I'll run this on Android to give you an idea what that looks like. All right, and so here it is running on an Android emulator. Once again, you can see the same exact label being displayed saying "Welcome to Xamarin Forms." And then finally, I'll run it on UWP. All right, and here it is. Once again, welcome to Xamarin Forms. So as you can see, even though we haven't built our UI yet, our UI for all three platforms here is based off of this one shared code base, which is really powerful and cool. So what we're gonna do now is we're gonna jump back to some slides. We'll talk a little bit more about Xamarin Forms, and then we'll start building our UI for our tic-tac-toe game. All right, so let's take a closer look at building a UI with Xamarin Forms. So first, let's talk about pages. Pages in Xamarin Forms really encapsulates an entire screen of the UI. And there are different types of pages that we can use. The first is called a content page. And this is by far the most common page in Xamarin Forms that people use. Basically, there is a single content property on it that allows us to assign a visual element to it. So for example, if I created a button, I could assign my button to the content property of the content page and it would be visible. Some other pages, we have master detail page. This is your typical master detail navigation where basically a slide out menu comes out with a list of scrollable records. And when you select a record, it will display the details of that record next to it. We also have a navigation page. This allows for your typical stack-based navigation. So as you navigate forward, you push pages onto the stack. And as you navigate backwards, you pop those pages off. We have a tabbed page. This enables you to have your typical tab navigation. So on iOS, it's typical to see a tab bar at the bottom of the screen, and it contains an image and some text sometimes. You can click on those buttons, and then it changes the currently displayed page. On Android, it's common to see the tab bar at the top of the screen. And then we also have a carousel page. This allows you to have like swipe navigation between pages. This is very common to see in applications that have like tutorials. Like when you start up an application, it will teach you how to use the app by swiping through some pages of information. This is also common to see in like reading applications like a PDF reader, maybe a Kindle app or a Nook app. Next, we also have layouts. So layouts are really used to help us size and arrange the controls in our UI. Like for example, I told you that the content page, which is the most common page, only allows for a single visual element in the content property. So it's very common to assign that content property to a layout, and then the layout will be responsible for taking all of its children and sizing and arranging it on the screen. So just going through a couple of the important ones here, We have stack layout. This is extremely common to see. It allows you to take your children and stack them in either a vertical or a horizontal list. And this is based off of the orientation property on the stack layout. We have grid. This is also very common and actually what we're going to be using today in our demos. A grid allows you to create rows and columns, and inside of those rows and columns, it creates cells. And in those cells, you can place children elements. And then we also have a scroll view. A scroll view allows you to take any children inside of it, and it will provide a scrolling experience if the children extend past the bounds of the scroll view. And a scroll view does support all orientations. It can go vertical or horizontal, or even both. And then we have controls. The controls are what we're most likely going to place inside of those layouts. And you can see a bunch of them here, but obviously all the common ones like labels for displaying text, entries are like text boxes, buttons are clickable surfaces. We have other things as well like list views for displaying dynamic amounts of content. So like in the next demo, we'll actually go through and we'll use some of these controls to get some practice with them. Now, Xamarin Forms also has a very powerful data binding engine to help you achieve a clean separation between your UI and your code behind. And it has all the features that you need, like commands and type converters, to let you build your UI using popular design patterns like MVVM. Now, if you've done Microsoft UI development in the past, then it's very likely that you have done some XAML. Now, this is what XAML looks like in a WinRT application. This is Microsoft XAML. And you can see it looks very similar to what we were just looking at before. So you can see here we're creating a stack panel, we're creating a text box, a password box, a button. And on those objects or on those elements, we're also assigning attributes or properties behind the scenes. So we're assigning some text, some colors, things like that. Now, in respect, this is Xamarin Forms XAML, and as you can see, it looks very similar. The structure is all the same. The biggest difference between these two is that the elements and the attributes that we're using are different. And that's because XAML is based off of the underlying technology. Since we're using Xamarin Forms here, it looks at the underlying object model for Xamarin Forms, and the element names are the names of the classes and properties inside of Xamarin Forms. So we see things like stack layout instead of stack panel, entry instead of text box, etc. Now, one thing I really want to make sure that you understand is how these controls are created. Right, when we build our UI in Xamarin Forms, all these controls that we're using are Xamarin Forms controls. But if you think about it, Xamarin Forms is nothing more than just like an abstraction around the native controls. So we say stack layout and entry, but on the native platforms, these are actually native controls. So when I create a Xamarin Forms entry, on iOS, it's really creating a UI text field behind the scenes. That's a native iOS control. On Android and on Windows, it creates an edit text and a text box respectively. So what this means is Xamarin Forms applications are native applications. We're just creating them in a cross-platform way, but at runtime, we get the power and the performance of a native application. All right, so we're now gonna head back over to our game and we're gonna start building our UI using XAML, and we'll also add some basic logic to start driving the game. All right, so here we are back inside Visual Studio. And before we start writing some more XAML, I wanna show you a cool tool called the XAML Previewer. So if you go to View, Other Windows, and you go to the Xamarin Forms Previewer, basically what this is, it looks at your XAML code and it will actually render it live in this previewer. So for example, here, as you can see, we're on Android and it's displaying the rendered version of it. And we're on iOS and we're not even running the application. And this is a live previewer. So if I go and I change the text of this, as you can see, the preview changes as well. So this is a useful tool if you want to quickly build XAML UIs. I'm not going to keep this up just for sake of real estate, but if you want to use this while you're following along or typing in XAML, by all means, go ahead and use this. All right, so what I want to do is I'm going to show you the basic UI of what we're going to be working with today. So here's sort of the completed application running on an Android device. And the idea is very simple. We are building a tic-tac-toe game. It consists of a grid. So if you can imagine, there are columns running up and down, and there are rows. And when we create this grid, we're placing button controls inside. And if I click on a button, it places a value, like X is first, then O. And it's a very simple tic-tac-toe game. So we're going to attempt to build this UI together. And like I said, it consists mainly of a grid. So we have four rows in this grid, and the first row has a hard-coded value of 100 right now. That's why we see this gap right here. And then all the other rows for the grid are equally proportioned. So I'll kind of explain the terminology as we go through this. So let's go ahead and start writing some XAML. So we can start by removing our label. We don't need that right now. So we're inside of our content page, and we're going to create a grid. Now, we're going to add some margin to our grid just so that it's offset from the top of the screen, because on iOS, the status bar can actually block content. So all I'm going to say is margin equals, and I'll say 0, 20, 0, 0. And that just means let's add a gap of 20 points from the top of the screen. It goes left, top, right, bottom. So we have a grid. And now we're going to start building our columns and our rows. So in our tic-tac-toe game, we have three columns that are all equally proportional. So what you do is, inside the grid, we're going to create column definitions. We'll say grid.columnDefinitions. And inside of our column definitions, we'll create our columns. So we'll create one column definition. And the width of this will be a value that we call star. I'll explain in a second what that is. And we're actually going to create two more of those. So we have three columns, all the value of star. Now, star is a proportional size. Basically, when you see a star, it looks at all the other stars and it proportionally sizes it. So for example, since they're all star, they'll all be the same size. If I make one of these two star, that means that this two star will always be double the size as all the other stars. Same if I made this three star, now this column will always be triple the size as all stars. So by making them all star, they're all evenly spaced. So we're going to do the same with rows. I'm just going to copy and paste this in just to save some time. So here are our row definitions. The same idea applies, except the first row has a fixed size of 100 points. Everything else is just star size, so they're the same size rows. Now the idea is, the reason why I added a gap here is because I want to put some supplemental information there. Like for example, I want to put two labels that describe who is X and who is O. So what I'm going to do is, let's go ahead and create a label. I'll say label. We'll make the text of this label saying you, so for your turn, and you're always X. And as you go along with this code, you can make it better. You can change how this logic works. But in our simple application, we are always X. Okay. We'll have another label where our opponent is always O. Okay, so we have two labels. Cool. But we need to position them inside of our grid. So we have some attached properties that we can use. I can say grid.row. I can say I want this to be in the first row, and I want this to be in the first column. For my other guy, I want to say I want this to be in the first row, But I want this guy to be in the last column. Since there's three columns, that would be two. I'll add a couple of customizations just because I know what it looks like. I'm going to add some margin to this around all sides, just to indent it a little bit. We'll do the same with this label as well. And then finally, I'm going to also shift the text of the opponent to the right. So I'm going to say horizontal text alignment, and I'm going to make it just to the end so it hugs the right-hand corner. Okay, so if I just open up that previewer again quickly, without running the application, you can see in our previewer, we have our two labels, and this is our picture so far. That's Android, and this is iOS. Pretty cool. Okay, next we're gonna create the actual buttons that are gonna go inside for the tic-tac-toe clickable surfaces. So we're using buttons here. You can use, you know, whatever you want if you wanna make this better. But I'm just going to create a button, and I'm going to give all my buttons names. And this is just so I can access them from code. So I'll just call my first button, button one. I'm going to set some empty text for now, and then I'll position it. So I'll say the first button is in grid.row one. He'll be in the first column, so grid.column zero. I'll give him a color. So I'll say background color is gray. And I'll also give him a clicked event that we'll use. So I'll call this button clicked. We'll change this quickly. All right, so we have one button here. Let's go ahead and add all of our buttons in. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this line. Okay, and I'll just modify these quickly. All right, and I'll change the values of the row and the column. So for the first guy, the first three buttons are in the first row, we're just going to change the column, right? And then the second guy is going to be in row two, and the same thing, 0, 1, 2, and then same for the last guy, right? So the first, well, the second, third, and fourth row, and then column 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So we have a basic setup for our buttons. And then lastly, I'm going to add the little interface for displaying that the game is over and if you want to play again. So I'm just going to go ahead and paste this in. Basically, all it is a stack layout. The stack layout is in the first row, the second column. So it's in the middle of the you and opponent labels. And it's a stack layout, so it stacks its children by default in a vertical list. So it will first have a label that says game over. And then beneath that, it will say play again as a button. And if you click that button, we have a click event. Okay, now for time's sake, I created the code to drive this game in a separate class. I'm just going to go ahead and copy and paste that in. So I'm going to create a new class in my portable class library called the Tic-Tac-Toe Game Engine. And I'm just going to go ahead and paste in the engine. Now, this code is available to you. It's going to be available to you in the GitHub source code that I'll provide. But basically, it's just driving the simple logic to see if we have a winner, to see if the game is over, to change the text of the buttons, and to reset the game. So you can go through this logic and take a look at it. It uses a basic array for all the different patterns to win the game, and it just checks through them. So we'll just utilize this in our code behind file. So in our code behind file, we're just going to start off by creating an array of buttons just to track and keep a reference to all of our buttons. And I'll just create an array that has 9 elements in it. And then I'm just going to assign the buttons from our UI into these elements in this array. So just do a quick copy and paste. It looks something like this. And I'll also create an instance of the tic-tac-toe game engine. So the first step is, when I click on any of the tic-tac-toe buttons, I'm going to call my game engine's set button. And all this does is it keeps track of whose turn it is, and depending on whose turn it is, it will set the text of the button to be either an X or an O. So I'm going to go ahead and pass in the button by just passing in the sender. Now, after I click a button, I want to see if we have a winner. So I'm going to say if the game check winner. To check the winner, we're going to pass in that array of buttons. And it will look through those buttons and it will basically examine to see if there is a winner in them. So if there is a winner, or if at least the game is over, this could either be there's a winner or there is a tie. It doesn't really matter. Check winner will just return true in this case. It's, like I said, it's very simple logic. But if that is the case, I'm going to take the game over, which is not showing up. Let me just go ahead and save this. I'm taking the game over stack layout, this guy right here, and I'm going to set this is visible property to true. So now that little menu pops up. And if the user clicks the play again button, I'll go to my game engine, I'll reset the game. This reset game method will go through all the buttons and set the text back to empty. And I'll make the game over stack layout back to being invisible. Okay, so really all the game logic's being driven through the engine. We're just kind of using the methods in our code behind file. I'm gonna go ahead and run this to see what it looks like. All right, so here's our game running on Android. So if I go ahead and play, as you see, when I click, it changes. Let's just go ahead and win. And as you can see, the game logic just finds the winner, sets the background color to a different color, and I can see that X won. You can also see the game over menu popped up. If I hit play again, clears everything, and I can go again. All right, pretty simple logic. Let's see what it looks like on iOS now. So here we are, and once again, the colors are blue, so you can't really see it, but you can see the same logic is working. Game over, play again. And then finally, let's take a look at UWP. Make sure we set it to be deployable. All right, so once again, there we go. So everything seems to be working on all of our platforms. All right, so we successfully built a cross-platform tic-tac-toe game. However, there's one last thing I want to do to this application. Whenever we have either a winner or a tie, I want to say, using text-to-speech, game over. Now, text-to-speech, by nature, is platform-specific. Every platform has different APIs to use text-to-speech. So there's really no easy way to just do this one time in shared code. I'm going to need some help. And what we're going to do now is we're going to jump back to the slides quickly. I want to go over a few things. We'll come back and we'll finish up by implementing text-to-speech. So I just mentioned a second ago that our text-to-speech code can't be shared easily. And that's because it's platform-specific. Every platform has different APIs for dealing with text-to-speech. So there's really no easy out-of-the-box way to write code once that then accesses all those specific native APIs. So it's kind of our responsibility to create that, which we will in a second, but this kind of brings up the question, well, what code can be shared? So this is often a topic that people struggle with. And the answer to it is pretty straightforward. So what code can be shared? Well, code that is not specific to a platform. For example, code that talks to a web service, right? This has nothing to do with the platform-specific API, so I can easily share that. Code that parses data, right? Let's say I'm converting a string to an integer. Does that have anything to do with iOS or Android? No, so I can share it. You can see code that uses a database, code that does processing logic, right? All these things are shareable because they aren't using APIs that are specific to that platform. And the same is true for the other case. Well, what can't be shared? Well, things that are specific. As you saw, text-to-speech is one of them. Text-to-speech can't be shared because it's specific to that platform. Every platform has different APIs for doing that. You can see some other examples, accessing system information, maybe using Bluetooth, maybe looking at files, the file system. These are all things that are specific to that platform. You can't share this code by default. All right, so how can we solve this problem? How can we take code that's not shareable and still write it once in our portable class library? Well, it turns out that there are strategies for doing this, and one strategy is creating an abstraction. So the idea is this. In our portable class library, we're going to create an interface. An interface is something that says what something needs to do, but not how to do it. So it's saying that anything that implements this iText-to-speech interface must be able to speak or have a speak method. Okay. Now, in the platform-specific projects, I'll create platform-specific classes. So I'll have text-to-speech iOS, text-to-speech Android, and text-to-speech Windows. And the idea is this. In those classes, in the native projects, it will contain the code that contains the native API. So, for example, iOS has a native API for text-to-speech. I'll put it into that text-to-speech class. The native Android API will go into the Android text-to-speech file. Now, all these classes will implement the iText-to-speech interface. The idea is so that back in my shared code, I can access these native text-to-speech classes through references of their interface, because the interface is defined in the PCL, so I'll be able to store a reference to the actual implementation of it. Now, I understand this is a little bit harder to understand from just looking at this picture, but we're gonna go into a demo and I'll show you exactly how this works. All right, so here we are back in Visual Studio, and we're gonna start off by creating that abstraction. So I'm gonna go into my portable class library, right click, add new item, and I'm gonna create an interface, right? I'll call this interface the iText-to-speech interface. Okay. So here's my interface, and my interface will be responsible for saying anyone that implements me has to be able to speak, right? So there it is. Now, in my native projects or the host's projects, I'm gonna create an actual implementation for this interface. So for Android, I'll go to add new class, and I'll create text-to-speech Android.cs. Now, so here's our base class. I want to copy in the code. This is really not important, but I'm going to copy in the code for actually dealing with text-to-speech on Android. So here it is. I'll copy over my using statements, which we'll come back to in a second as well. All right, so there's the code. I'll now do the same for iOS. Right-click on iOS, go to add new class. And this will be the text-to-speech.ios.cs. Same idea, I'm gonna take the iOS code. So in iOS to do text-to-speech, it's just this simple API here. Okay. And then finally, I'll do UWP as well. Add class. text to speech dot windows dot cs. And then I'll take this code as well. And once again, all this code is available to you through GitHub. Okay, so we have all of our classes that are implementing iText-to-speech, and we have the native APIs to actually use text-to-speech. The next thing is, well, we need some way to locate those references from this file. From our main page.cs, we want to be able to locate one of those native implementations of it. So how are we going to do that? It turns out that in Xamarin Forms, there's a built-in service called the dependency service. And it's actually an implementation of a design pattern called a service locator. And it's very simple to use. Let me show you. All you do is you go to these native implementations using the native APIs, and you add this assembly level attribute. So I added that there. I'll do iOS, and I'll also do Android. For Android, I'm going to be a little bit more specific, and I'm just going to add the namespace in there, just because there is a some confusion with a different API. But now we have these assembly level attributes added. Now you may be wondering, okay, well, what are these assembly level attributes doing? It's pretty straightforward. It takes these classes and it registers them to the dependency service. So what happens is this now Android text-to-speech service is registered to the dependency service. And it knows that it's registered using iText-to-speech. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to our main page.xaml.cs, and we're going to say when we have a winner or a tie, we want to locate one of those services. So if I'm running on iOS, on Android, on Windows, it doesn't matter. What I'm going to say is I'm going to say let's get a reference or a variable of iText-to-speech. I'll call this speech. And I'm going to use the dependency service, and there's a method on it called get. And I want to say iText-to-speech. What this means is it says check your service locator and scan through the list. And once you find a class that implements this iText-to-speech interface, go ahead, create an instance of it, and then return the reference back to me. So I should say if speech is not equal to null, because if it can't find one, it will just return null. So if it's not equal to null, I'll say speech dot, and I'll use that speak method that's defined on it. And I'll say game over. Now, if you think about it, remember, this iText-to-speech or this dependency service.get is getting something that implements iText-to-speech. So, for example, if I'm running on iOS, it will come here. It will say, oh, this guy implements iText-to-speech. Let me create an instance of this class. I'll return the reference back to me. I'll store it here, and when I call speak, this speak method will go off and it will call this guy right here, the native iOS code for using text-to-speech. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and just give this a run on Android because I'm using the iOS remote and it doesn't really do sound well with that. So I'm gonna go ahead and do it on Android and just show you that now we're playing sound on Android. All right, so here we are. And let's see.
Game over.
As you heard, it said game over. All right, so once again, I want to just come back and point out Xamarin University. I want to point out that there is a free trial for Xamarin University, and it gives you access to our self-guided learning, which allows you to learn at your own pace. You'll get access to lightning lectures and guest lectures, and you also get access to two live expert-led intro classes that you can take. These will also count towards certification credit. I also want to remind you that Xamarin University does now have a more flexible payment method. you can now use monthly payment starting at about $83 per month. And this does give you access to the entire updated curriculum with all the beginner topics like C#, all the way up to advanced native Android, iOS, Xamarin Forms classes. Definitely check it out. It's the best resource for learning all there is about Xamarin. So as I said before, the source code for our tic-tac-toe game is available. You can see the link is just github.com/JesseDietrichson/tic-tac-toe. So you can go ahead and grab that, take a look. You can even expand it, add more logic, make it a little bit better. You can see some other links for downloading Visual Studio, Xamarin, Xamarin University information. I also want to point out that we do have more upcoming webinars every Thursday in June, covering all types of topics like building games for iOS, macOS, and tvOS, dealing with Azure machine learning, and much more. So definitely be on the lookout for those. So I want to say thank you for taking the time and hanging out with me today and watching this webinar. I hope that you really did learn something new today about building powerful cross-platform applications using Xamarin Forms. We're now going to head over to the Q&A session. So if you do have any questions from today's session, you can go ahead and type in those questions now, and we have a group of mobile experts waiting to answer your questions. So once again, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your day.